local. Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield breaking it down behind the glass as we try to banish Draymond Green, two different teams. We've gone from suspensions aren't enough. He just gets to kick it in his mansion and spend quality time with his kids, right? He's already got as much money in the world, okay? Send him to Detroit for a week. You got to play with Detroit for the next 10 games. That's what you have to do. And somebody on the text line from the 510-916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation, somebody on the text line says, send him to, he's got to go to Washington. With Jordan Poole.
That is
the next time
incredible.
The next time you mess around, Draymond, you got to play with Jordan Poole for 10 games, brother.
And it's his team now.
And you got to listen to him.
Yep.
He's going to call you off screens.
I think the punishment
fits the crime
there.
He's going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
No more of this. You just get to kick it at home.
Nope. It's
too easy.
That's real punishment. Make him play, actually.
You
got to play.
You have to play.
You and Jordan Poole's minutes are synced up, as a matter of fact. You have to play every minute that he's on the floor.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can't shoot. You got to pass to him.
Wow.
You got to treat Jordan Poole the same way you treat Steph.
Yep. And if you mess around and you try to just stay in the corner, it's another game.
Yep. At the end of every game, we're going to determine, did you give proper effort for this game?
Wow.
And if not, then
the community service.
Another game. Exactly.
Community service.
That's exactly
you can't
what it
just
is.
Sign off, right? Your coach isn't just going to sign off for you. You have to be active in the class. You have to be active in the game.
No participation trophy. No.
That is great.
That's
keep
great.
Them coming.
That's incredible.
What should the punishment for Draymond Green be? We're tired of these suspensions. It's not enough. Let's get creative
with this.
It's
clearly not getting through.
It's not getting through at all. So let's get creative with this, with the Dodgers being creative as they sign Shohei Ohtani. And they also are talking to Yamamoto. And Chris, you had said that Mookie, who else was in there?
Freeman? It was Mookie, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, and Shohei Ohtani. Not Will Smith, the actor. Will Smith, the catcher, right? I know baseball.
Yes.
They were all a part of the Yamamoto meeting for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So... definitely, you know, gives a little bit of the Hampton 5 vibe, you know, or Hampton, what was it, Hampton's 4? Or no, they called them the Hampton's 5.
When they added him.
They went to the four of those guys, the Clay, Iggy, Steph, and Draymond went to go visit KD. A little bit of a similar vibe there where that's a really good selling point, you know. That's a good pitch if you're going to say, why should I come to your team? Well, us, obviously.
Yeah.
No one has this going on. So, you know, that's a pretty good sell.
So quickly, I want to do this because I think there are a lot of Giants fans as well as A's fans out here in Sacramento. And you have Andrew Baggerly, who writes for The Athletic and covers the Giants. This is a quote from Buster Posey from a Baggerly piece from a year ago, right? And Buster has been very vocal, even though he's from the South. He's obviously a Giants legend, right? And he feels bad, right? He had some more things to say about the Giants missing out on Ohtani this time around. He was actually in the room for both attempts to get Ohtani. So they had Buster Posey. Mm. I don't know who else was in that room, but they had Buster.
It's usually not great if you're putting retired people in the room and, you know, the other guys might be putting, again, like Freddie Freeman, Mookie.
Right. We lit right
now.
It's
like,
this is the ghost of Christmas past.
Let's have Buster
right?
Posey and Barry Bonds in the meeting and be like, look.
And they probably wouldn't even let Barry in there the way they treat Barry. So this is a quote from Buster Posey from a year ago. And I want to get your take as somebody from Sacramento. And obviously I have my thoughts as somebody from the Bay Area. And this is a quote. Something I think is noteworthy. Something that is unfortunately... it keeps popping up from players and even the players' wives, is there's a bit of an uneasiness with the city itself as far as the state of the city with crime, with drugs, Posey said. But that's all completely fair or not, perception is reality. It's a frustrating cycle, I think, and not just with baseball. Baseball is secondary to life and the important things in life. But as far as a free agent pursuit goes, I have seen that it does affect things. Do you think, look, I think it's pretty simple. It's because L.A. is not the cleanest city either.
It's definitely not.
You got Mookie Betts, everybody you just named. The Dodgers are competitors, contenders every single year. I think it's that simple.
Yep.
Was there any part of Ohtani, and I'm not going to try to overstate this, that thought, San Francisco is intriguing, but it's a dump.
Right.
I don't know. I think that it could be a factor
it's a
in
factor,
other situations. In this Ohtani situation, I do not.
Agreed. I think I agree with that 100%. Like, does it play a factor? Is it something that you have to consider if you're going to be moving there? Absolutely. It's a place you're going to live. You have to think that about every place. New York, Chicago, San Francisco. It's really just a big city problem in general. All of those places have, quote unquote, dirty areas. New York City is littered with them. You got pizza rats and stuff running around New York. Okay,
they are literally carrying them.
Yes, literally carrying pizzas. So, yeah, you know, it definitely plays a factor into it. But I think you put this on social media last night, and I completely agree with it. How many of these guys are actually even living in San Francisco proper? Like, seriously, how many?
I don't know. I mean, first of all,
not many.
And look, I never lived in the city. It wasn't really my thing. I lived in Oakland, and then I lived in Alameda. Right. But when you think, when you're watching TV, not that families don't live in cities proper, but what do you always see when you turn on a movie or a show? Oh, we had kids and we went to the suburbs, right? So a lot of these guys have families and they're not in the city.
And they want big houses, too.
And they want big houses. So a lot of these guys...
There's no big houses in downtown San Francisco.
They could afford them, but I just don't even think that... They would want to go through with that because even they look at value. You see LeBron thinking, I want that 500K. Yeah. Just because these guys got money don't mean they don't care about money. They don't mean they're going to make bad purchases. So I think that it's part of it. Could the city be better? We're not trying to get political here. Right. But when you have to at least throw it out there, these guys are living in, you know, Black Hawk and all these other places.
Steph lives in Walnut Creek, right?
And before that, I think he was in Orinda. These guys are not living in San Francisco right now.
Maybe like the rookies are living in, you know, some high rise.
Yeah, in high rises. So I don't know. I would put, because you can't put taxes. We're going to get into Shohei's tax evasion as well, but evasion as well. But I understand that San Francisco, and again, we are not getting political. There's a lot of areas where it could improve.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody's denying that.
Yeah.
But there is and I don't think this is what Buster Posey is saying, so I'm not trying to misquote him, but I don't even think it crossed Shohei's mind when it came to this specific situation. You know what crossed Shohei's mind?
Shohei doesn't have a wife and kids. He's got a dog that he apparently named Dodger or something.
You know what crossed Shohei's mind? Mike Yastrzemski protecting him. You know what crossed his mind, right? Austin Slater protecting him in a lineup. That's what crossed his mind.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. That's what it was.
He's like, you got Mookie Betts playing every single position in the alley.
He's a second baseman now, right? He's Mr. Inspector Gadget.
Right.
Meanwhile, you got, you know, Casey Schmidt and a bunch of guys that are 4A players. Right. Look, we can have this conversation and understand that, it probably didn't help that.
Right.
San Francisco has a negative connotation right now.
Right.
But I do not think that if San Francisco was in the best position that it ever could be, it was never going to swing Shohei. Ooh, what do I want to play with?
Right.
Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman in L.A. Yeah. or this really clean city with Austin Slater and Mike Yastrzemski? Ooh, let me think about that. Come on now.
Yeah. And he's not Andre Iguodala either, who's looking for tech money or something like that.
No,
like he's looking. Shohei has made it very clear ever since they won, he's a winner and he wants to win, and that was his main priority. And to your point, Giants are in a lot worse situation to win right now than what's going on in LA. That's clear and obvious. Even I can tell you that.
Also wanted to get into Young Hoo Lee, who is a South Korean baseball player that the Giants just signed. Now, what's interesting?
Were you surprised by that? Were there tentacles out there for those rumors at all before? Or did that kind of surprise you?
It surprised me a little bit. Now, I like his swag. I posted a video on Twitter where he actually went Bombo off Yamamoto in the World Baseball Classic.
Really?
So our Larry Kruger has been on this airways. We love Larry. Larry is worried because in the KBO, the average fastball is 88 miles per hour. So Larry is saying, guys, I think it was a bit of an overpay. I don't necessarily disagree with Larry, right? But I will say this, when looking at Young Hoo Lee's what he was perceived to get. He was predicted from MLB trade rumors. Another friend of the show, Jeff Young, went ahead and posted this. They thought he'd get 5 years, $50 million. Okay?
Okay.
He got the Giants signed
him
for
that's not
$113 million. And I do think it's important because we sit there and we'll say, open the check. Now, I guess opening the check for Ohtani is a little bit different than opening the check for somebody who, okay, the Korean Baseball League is a really good league, but it ain't Major League Baseball. And we've seen some of these guys play well. We've also seen some of these guys not really pan out. Now, just quickly, his slash, Young-Hoo Lee's slash for the KBO in 7 seasons. He was a 5-time Gold Glove winner. He said himself, I want to play center. I'm coming to play center. I don't want to play left or right. He slashed 340, 407, and 491. So pretty legit. People are worried that he's going to be more of a slap hitter. So we'll see what happens there.
Giants will take all hitters.
And the Giants, they're not done.
Yeah,
they're not done. So hopefully they continue to add. Got to get to a break. We did want to say quickly before we go hardcore Kings for really the rest of the show here that we found out how Shohei pulled it off or why he deferred. Talking about California and taxes. Here you go. This is from Jesse Morris, right, on Twitter. This is a quote here. Tax law stipulates that if you take your deferred compensation payments over a period of 10 years or more, those payments will be taxed in the state where you reside rather than in the state in which you earn the compensation, potentially reducing your tax liability. So when Shohei is 48, 50 years old and done, most likely, he will not be in California.
No, that almost guarantees he won't
will
be.
Not, you will not see me here. No. So when he is done with baseball, he will just bounce out of California, maybe go to Florida, maybe just go back to Japan, and he will be taxed differently. Now, I don't know about the Japan thing. Maybe he needs to have a house in the States and say, hey, I live in Texas or Florida, something like that. But if you look at the taxes and break this whole thing down, Shohei probably says this makes a lot of sense to me. So just, Nate, I know you had asked that question yesterday. That is some of the ways that he avoided it. It's still Ozark. It's still cleaning money. All right, we're out of here. Got to get to a break. When we get back, it is Hardcore Kings previewing the Thunder, and we will have our Kings roundtable at 12:44, 45. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. So much to get to in the sports world today. Draymond Green going Mortal Kombat on Yusuf Nurkic.
Hadouken!
You think we're going to get that? You think we're going to get the
suspension news
today?
It's a good question.
Hadouken is Street Fighter.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, Nate, thank you. We gave you your video game segment yesterday.
I'm just letting you guys know. I just, you know, we got to get things right here.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Which one's Fatality? Is that?
That's Mortal
he
Kombat.
He just goes Fatality. But, like, yeah, probably, like, get over here, that one, you know? That's Mortal Kombat.
Scorpion. That's definitely
Scorpion.
Draymond right there.
That was my guy. Yeah, he did say get over here.
Get over here. I would think so. I would definitely think so. Like, how much time do you really need to look at it and deliberate, you know? I understand maybe trying to find the perfect, you know, time frame to figure out how many exact games you feel like is right, but you know, it's not going to take that much breaking down. I feel like, you know, after you had enough time with the backlash last night, and now you have had some time to kind of digest it and sit with it, and you know, I assume league office is in New York, so they're 3 hours ahead. I would assume we probably hear it in the next couple hours.
I would imagine so, too, as we are.
When's the Warriors' next game?
Well, that's what Jason Ross had said. If it is 20 games.
So they play on Thursday. They play tomorrow. So I would assume they probably have to get it in.
If it is 20 games, again, Draymond would return against
the Kings.
I don't think it's going to be 20, man.
It could be. It really could be.
If it's 20.
It would be surprising. But that's like max punishment.
If it's 20, what do you do if you're the Warriors? You go out and get somebody. Or do you just
say,
young boys, young bulls?
I think it's young bulls at that point, because I think that's the situation that Draymond has put you in. Like, you were not anticipating making a move. I don't think you can just reactionary make a move because he's out. I think you just got to kind of go to him and say, this is exactly why everyone's been telling you to stop, because mm-hmm. you're hurting. Now you've hurt the team. Like, it was hurting the team when you miss five games. You can survive five games. But if it's 15 to 20 games, well, now, Draymond, you've pretty much just ruined our season being selfish. You're going to be suspended.
For the second year in a row?
For the second year in a row. That's a great point. That's a fantastic. And we just paid you. We just chose you. How much more respect do you want us to give you? We traded off the guy that you hated. We signed you to a contract that you didn't. I mean.
And wait, by the way, just real quick.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when Draymond, I think it was one of his, it was a TNT, some interview that he did, and he basically said, one day I'll let you guys know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
As if Jordan Poole did something one
right.
day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just still curious as to what it could have been. Now, I've heard some things. I'm sure you've heard some things. But
yeah.
Draymond, I don't even think it matters now. If he had went clean after that, maybe. Yeah. But this is probably one of his dirtiest years.
Yeah. Already.
This is one of his dirtiest years.
We're
20 games. This is actually insanity.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about it is like this dude, again, he's only supposed to be getting older. You would think he wouldn't have the energy for this kind of thing.
No, I don't. It tires me out. The one thing I guess I'm curious about is Draymond really made waves and I wonder what TNT thinks about this this is uncharted territory because you have somebody in Draymond who really has done something we haven't seen before, right? Where he is still playing. I don't know if he's the first, right? We obviously WNBA players have done it too, but maybe the biggest in his prime to do the TNT thing,
right?
And do this as well.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, you know, we all got side hustles, but I'm wondering if maybe the NBA is put in a sticky situation because it's, hey, you got to deal with the NBA even though you're still playing. Did Draymond maybe think he was a bit more untouchable because of this weird relationship that he has where he's part of the media and he's sitting there joking with Charles Barkley about his suspensions and things that have happened? It's just a little different.
I could maybe see in totality, maybe just Draymond thinks himself as a bigger asset to the league than he actually is, you know? Because I wouldn't say he is a big star. Like, I mean, the fact that every radio and television program today is probably leading and talking a majority of their program today about Draymond, he's a star. Like, he gets ratings, he'll get you numbers, Stephen A, he'll get you clicks, but is he necessarily an overall asset to the league? Like, I don't know if, I mean, he's definitely an asset to the league with the drama and, again, all this stuff he's stirring up, but yeah, I wonder if he thinks he's more important than what he actually is. Like, he thinks that he has a Steph Curry shield around
him.
And in actuality,
you're not
Steph
that guy,
Curry's
pal.
The only one who has the Steph Curry shield. But Steph, not even that Steph needs a shield, but
right,
he thinks,
doesn't put him put the league in those,
you know,
types of situations.
I was thinking, would you rather have a guy, and maybe I'm completely off base here, would you rather have a guy like Draymond Green, who is a hothead all the time, is liable to get ejected any game.
Okay.
We see him get suspended all the time. Would you rather have that, where you never know when he's going to be available because of his emotion? Or would you rather have a teammate like Dennis Rodman, who between the games, no one knows where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
But he's there during the games, and he'll show up, and he'll give you a little something.
Easy.
But like
Dennis Rodman.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that saying something? Like, Dennis Rodman, I would say, is probably the most whatever extracurricular player we've ever seen in any sport, maybe. And the fact that I think a lot of people would rather have, even just on your team, you would rather have Dennis Rodman than Draymond Green. I think that's a really damning thing to say about a guy. And I think that really, and I don't think you're crazy at all. I probably would rather have, you know, it's picking the worst of two evils, but
wait, so you're saying, let me get this straight. So Dennis Rodman, the issue is because of his outer
Yeah, I mean, just he's clubbing, he's
right.
drinking, he's showing up to practices hungover, right. showing up to, at least he's at the games.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody said in The Last Dance was, look, we almost let
but
Dennis
why
go
why wouldn't
crazy.
You pick Dennis Rodman over Draymond? Who would pick Draymond over him?
Because Dennis Rodman's a lunatic.
But if he's on the court and he's not getting kicked out.
Rodman's craziest stuff have come after the NBA, though, correct?
I mean,
like
he was not.
Going
I mean,
to North Korea?
I mean, that's definitely not stable. That's not a thing that everybody's doing. Yeah. But also, I mean, like,
not
you
allowed
know,
to.
Dennis Rodman is, again, like, he's clubbing and, before finals games.
No, I hear you. You know? I hear you, but.
Pre-social media, I mean, it's a different world.
It's weird. It's not a, is it fair to say that maybe Draymond is more important to the Warriors than Rodman was? And I know I'm going to get destroyed
right.
by somebody for
no,
that.
I mean,
but.
No, I think that's I mean they're really similar in the sense of they're not like your prototypical star, but they do.
I gotta defend and rebound.
Yeah.
I gotta defend and rebound. Draymond, a lot of people try to take it away from Steph to say Draymond runs the offense.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. I think it's pretty close of a comparison. Yeah. But I'm taking Rodman all day. I'm just thinking here, you know, Stephen A. Yesterday, he will eat the table. I need Stephen A to come out today. And say, I'm hearing around from my sources that Draymond Green will break the table. He will punch the table.
That brother need the help.
Club security. I've been talking to club owners all across San Francisco. They all want Draymond Green as their bouncer.
Right.
They see him, okay? He will throw you out the club,
yeah.
okay?
Guys,
word is
for
out.
For no reason.
Okay.
For no reason.
Okay.
If you look at him sideways, if you forget to take a tic-tac,
okay.
you getting thrown out
the club.
If you
got a solid colored shirt on, okay? No team hats.
I tried to tell him, no Jordans in the club. Draymond Green slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to a break. When we get back, we're breaking down the Thunder, who are doing pretty darn well. Yeah, the Thunder. They've turned it around quickly. And right now, they are number two in the West. So, the Kings, tomorrow night, they better bring it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield, breaking it down. That was a really well-timed drop right there, Nate.
You ever see the Chappelle skit where he's got the turn my left end phone up?
Yeah,
he's like,
yo, turn the left
wait
up.
A minute. And then it just drops. He's like, oh, my bad.
More snare.
Put some treble in it. Put some treble in it.
Draymond needs to put less of everything
in
everything as we talk about Draymond and we are looking to see what happens to him. The Warriors play tomorrow, so we will keep up with that for you. 916-339-1140 in 15 minutes. We will have our Kings Roundtable with Brandon Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Get your calls in, get your texts in, get your sack chat chats in to be a part of the conversation. Any questions, any comments that you want Brendan and Frankie to react to, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. And 916, as we compared, or Chris made a great comparison between Rodman and Draymond, 916 says, Rodman got a ton of texts and kicked the cameraman, and it's
he
way
sure
better
did.
Than Green.
Yeah.
He led the league in rebounds, talking about Rodman, yeah.
I mean, it's tough because, I mean, I think they both definitely bring something that every championship team needs, definitely. I mean, they're the guys who will do the dirty work sometimes quite too literally. They'll do the dirty work and you know, those Steph isn't going to want to dive for loose balls and isn't going to want, and he shouldn't have to guard the other team's best defender or best offensive player either, and that's what those guys were asked to do. They definitely bring value to their team, which makes it so difficult. There's always the question of how big of a headache or how good of a player do you have to be to deal with as big of a headache as you can be. And those guys just feel like they skirted that line more than anybody else, as well as, again, as he, again, perfectly referenced himself. Antonio Brown was a similar case in the NFL, man, where it's a sad
really
reality.
There,
but really, it is. No, it is, because it becomes a point with all these guys where Antonio Brown's still talented. It's just that dude is too crazy. The juice is not worth the squeeze, and it feels like Draymond is getting to that point where the antics just aren't worth the squeeze that he's giving. And Draymond still, to his credit, I would say is underrated at this time right now. Like, Draymond's having a ridiculous season. Let me look at his splits.
Well, he only got to play every other game.
I mean, that definitely doesn't help, or it doesn't hurt. I mean, that's not hurting, but Draymond's like career year right now, shooting 49% from the field. And here's the thing that no one's talking about. Draymond's back to shooting the three ball. He's shooting 42% on three attempts a game this year. 9 points per game. It's his highest point total average since the 2017-18 season. He's having a career year, but he just can't get out of his own way. Like, that's inexcusable. That you can't have that anymore. And it's got to be frustrating. I mean, if you're a Warrior fan, Steve Kerr seems like he's been fed up with it. But yesterday, I mean, what a rough day for Steve Kerr yesterday. Not only did Draymond get ejected, impossible suspension, had to talk about that. He then benched Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and Looney. Mm-hmm. That was a tough decision, and now has to answer for that as well. And they lose in that game. And Wiggins and Klay are sitting on the bench as the Warriors need a three to tie that game. Things are not going well. Not and good. I knew it was bad this morning when I saw Tim Kawakami put out just the sentence of, this is how the Warriors dynasty ends, with Draymond Green getting kicked out for punching, and Klay Thompson, Wiggins, and Looney sitting on the bench after too many ineffective minutes, and Curry running around just trying to save the entire situation. This is usually how these things go. No one ever, you never think it's going to be this year.
Right.
And everybody always thinks, oh no, the demise is, you can see it coming, but it's still a couple years down the road. No one ever sees it until it's already in their face. And it feels like right now, especially if Draymond's going to get suspended for 15, 20 games, like you said, feels like this could be a very abrupt ending to maybe the best dynasty we've seen since the Jordan Bulls.
Yeah, you never know how something is going to end. And I do want to ask, and first we have a text from the 530. Draymond should work as a referee so he can see how messed up of a player he must look from a referee point of view. As I said, make him referee a little kid's volleyball game every game, all ages, for 3 months every weekend. As we threw out on the airwaves, what should Draymond's punishment be? Because suspensions clearly are not working. Nah. Make him ref little kids' volleyball games. Yeah. Or T-ball when they're, you know, he might get hit in the shin with the bat or something like that. Make him do something like that. You know, it's interesting you read off what Draymond's been doing this season, because I've always been of the mindset that, you know, out in the Bay, everybody sits there and says, no, nobody else could do what Draymond does. Right. Nobody else could do what Draymond does. And, you know, I got destroyed a lot on those airwaves because I just don't think that's necessarily true anymore.
Not anymore. I don't. Yeah. I
didn't think it last season.
No, I didn't think it last season. Last season was kind of the start of the decline, though. Again, this year he's taken a bit of a step up. But yeah, I agree. I think that he's long, really since KD left, which I don't think there's any connection to it, but I think since KD left really has been when Draymond hasn't been the same guy. Even then, you kind of saw a little bit of him taking a back seat, but he definitely wasn't that guy that almost saved the Warriors in that Game 7 against Cleveland. You remember that Game 7 where Draymond hit, I think, five threes in the first half and had 20 points, led them in scoring, and then it's you've just never felt like he's been that weapon, definitely not offensively, but also defensively. I mean, he's a guy who was a generational defender, definitely was the best defender of this era, but he's lost half a step and he was already undersized. And so if you can't jump like you used to, if you've lost your speed and you're really just relying on IQ at this point, you really are only going to have so much of an impact. And it's kind of like Klay, where you might have days and moments where, you know, yeah, there was that clip that went viral of Draymond stopping the Kings in a 3-on-1 fast break by himself. Right. You can channel it for a minute. Klay might be able to have a 20-point quarter or something, but the problem is you're not doing it every day. You might be able to do it once a week at best. But that's not good enough for how this Warrior team's constructed. This Warrior team still is built like we need Klay and we need Steph and we need Draymond to be our best players.
Yeah, and you know we're on the lookout because if it is 20 games, that next game would actually be against the Kings. Once again, I don't think it would have the same juice. I think obviously I believe that game is in San Francisco, so wouldn't have the same juice, but we are on the lookout for that. And really, just as Kings fans, just deflecting, because the Kings, they didn't do us any favors last night because they laid a complete egg as we get ready for our roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. And this is what we're going to get into, and Frankie, I believe, is the one that posted this last night. The Kings have 9 losses. 4 of those losses have been by 18 or more points, and 3 of those losses have been by 20 or more points. 7 of 9 have been blowouts.
Yeah, absolute blowouts.
And 1 was the last second shot by the last second shot by Klay, and off the top of my head, I'm not even sure the other game. Was it the Pelicans? Did they get that one within?
Yes,
that had to have been the second Pelicans game.
Yeah, where they showed better effort, but still had the same problems. Right, can't stop Zion, can't stop Brandon Ingram.
So you burn the tape, you burn the tape, you burn the tape. They can still go out.
It's a lot of burnt tape.
It's a lot of burnt tape, right? You can still go out. You beat the Thunder. You beat the Jazz. And shout out Jordan Poole. You beat the Wizards. You're feeling good about that stretch. That'd be a 5-1 stretch. Mm-hmm. But this curious case of just completely not showing up.
Right.
You know, people got on you for, hey, when they did this against the Pelicans.
Yeah, I remember.
And people saying, hey, don't go so hard on them. It's not that big of a deal. When is it going to be a big deal?
Yep.
Because be careful what you say. Because whenever you say, okay, it'll be a big deal after Christmas. It'll be a big deal in February. Then it's too late.
Yep.
You need to start rounding into form now.
Yeah.
And laying egg after egg after egg is not the way that you want to do things. Yeah. And I'm looking at Mike Brown. I'm looking at the leaders on this team. They're not a young – this isn't the Rockets, right? I know the Rockets got a little bit older, but this isn't the Pistons. This isn't the Spurs, right? This is the Magic.
These guys are hitting winning time about now. They're all around 26, 27, starting to hit your prime right there.
And you want to sit there and talk about championship mentality and go out against a – you know, I sit there, Chris, I say, man, this would be great. You beat a Paul George. You beat a Kawhi. And Kawhi.
By the way, Paul George didn't play that second half. Got hurt.
Didn't even play the second half.
15 minutes. Didn't even play the second half. Didn't matter.
Kawhi, he goes into a time machine. He turns back into Toronto Kawhi. Yeah. And at some point, I'm thinking, you know what? That's because the Clippers respect you, Kings. That's because the Clippers think that these guys, we got to show up.
They're the double overtime Kings.
Right, right. Yeah. We got to show up. And you know what? They get there, the game starts, and they this is the Kang showed up tonight. Yeah. We didn't know that. The second time. The first time we thought, okay, they're coming off a back-to-back. We're not. We're about to start our back-to-back. Cool. Kawhi had a look in his eyes that said he respected you.
Yep.
Right? And you said you don't need to, Kawhi.
Yeah.
We're not showing up tonight. We're just gonna roll the ball around.
Yep.
We're just gonna chuck up threes because we made so many last night. We're just going to keep rolling. We're just going to not defend.
Yeah.
We're just going to act like we don't care. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. And the thing that really got me when I was looking at the numbers in the post game, I'm going to make sure I got the number right here. The fast break points for the Clippers yesterday was the most, not disrespectful, but to me said the Clippers mentality for that game. I just, again, want to make sure I get the right number before I say it. They had 7 fast break points yesterday, the Clippers did, and scored 120 points. What that tells me is the Clippers said, well, we're totally fine just going into a half-court offense, and we just think we can beat you. Like, we think that we can just have the horses to either ISO you or we like the matchups. We don't even need to run. That's not where our bread's going to be better. Mm-hmm. We're going to line up from you right directly across.
They can't afford to run.
And y'all just can't guard us. You don't have the personnel. You don't have anyone to slow down Kawhi Leonard. He's going to get to his spot. You're going to double team James Harden, and you're going to leave Paul George wide open in the corner, and he's going to splash that thing. they weren't afraid of the Kings at all. They said, let's line it up, and you can't stop us.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And the Kings,
they didn't.
I think the Clippers shot, they shot 50% yesterday as well. Those two games now, the Clippers have played the Kings and shot over 50, significantly over 50% from the field. Last time they shot like 45% from three. At least this time they held them to 38. But I mean, they got whatever they wanted. And I think they kind of knew, like you said at the start of the show, Kings just didn't have the horses to line up with them.
It was one of, and you look at the scorebook and the box score, and it was balanced scoring, yeah. Right? You talked about Paul George. He had 9. He didn't play the second half. Kawhi had 31, so he did his thing. But everybody else got some. And I know that it was ended up being a blowout to some of these guys who didn't really get that many minutes. But you get 9 from Paul George. You get 6 from Zubac. You had 9 rebounds. You get 10 from Terrence Mann. You get 15 from James Harden. You get 15 from Norman Powell.
Right.
You get 7 from Kobe Brown.
Right.
You get 8 from Russell Westbrook, which is a lot for Russell Westbrook these days.
Yeah.
You get 8 from Daniel Tice. You get a couple points from Coffee, you know, towards the bone.
Yeah.
They even let Bones Highland play. They've been trying to not let this man play since he came over in a trade. Even Bone Highland's got 6 points. Embarrassing. All right. We have the Kings Roundtable coming up right here. Get your questions lined up. Get your comments lined up with our Sactown Sports Kings Insiders, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
The time that you've been waiting for, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We are joined by Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez, our Sactown Sports Kings Insiders. As we break down all things Kings, of course, we're going to get their thoughts on Draymond Green. But guys, you know, and I do have a trade. Maybe you saw it on my social media. I hope you didn't.
I did.
Because I do have a trade that I will throw to you at some point during this hour, but I just want to ask you guys, as the Kings Insiders, and you know, Chris and I joke about the Kings, they really do mail it in early. So if you need to cook, if you need to put your baby down, if you need to feed the dog, they tell you, hey, we're not showing up today, but you're the insiders, you got to stay locked in. Just how difficult is it when they decide we're going to play like trash cans tonight?
Well, the bright side, I guess, is that we're very conditioned. No, we're very conditioned.
Yeah,
I mean, at least Chris and I, growing up. And then
we were born in it.
We were born in the darkness.
Oh,
yeah.
My
and
goodness.
Then Brendan was obviously, you know, he's a Bay
Area
transplant. Bay Area transplant, Brendan. He's already used to it, too. But I think that it is nice that, well, not nice, maybe unideal on the other end of things, but you do know, like, early in the game, in the first quarter, that the Sacramento Kings either have it or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I am definitely the one in our media row where I'm like, I don't know, man, they could bring this back.
Oh, man.
And I hold on to it for a long time before I'm finally like, okay, this is done. And that makes these sometimes kind of tough, but I guess I hold on to a little bit of hope. I'm like, I don't know, they score fast. I was watching the game with somebody else last night. They're like, nah, it's over, beginning of the third. I'm like, nah, this is, they could totally bring this back. And sure, they have moments where they don't, but that was like one of the least fight that they had. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, was it a little too obvious, and maybe that's why we didn't talk about it yesterday? Was it a little too obvious to say, guys, they just broke the franchise record in three-pointers with 25? Of course they're not going to be able to throw a beach ball in the ocean tonight, right? Because I didn't even bring it up.
Right.
But was it too obvious to even bring up that they were going to be frozen the night after just being red hot from three ball?
I think a gradual, I'm putting a little emphasis on gradual, a gradual decline would have been expected, because when you knock down 25 threes, there's a 99.9.
Tough to knock down 26 the next game.
99.9% chance you're not going to make 26 the next night. But to come out and shoot 10 and 37, 27%, 0-7 in the second quarter, which a lot of people are kind of paying attention to, the Kings are arguably the worst second quarter team in the NBA, or are, but from a number standpoint, there's no coming back from that. And the Kings, we've seen it before, time and time again, when the shots aren't falling from three, they don't really try to change things up on you. They kind of keep just letting it fly. And I think sometimes it works out and they find it late in the game. But not to say the three-point shooting was the only problem last night. Really, across the board, there's not really much that is great. The 27 assists, Kings are a top-five team in assists, but that's going to be who they are. That's their identity. But at a certain point, too, and we can talk about this a little later, but the free-throw shooting is just...
Ugh, don't give me
some. And look, they missed seven last night, 70%. Mm-hmm. They're 27th in the NBA in free throw shooting.
That's awful.
They're going to lose a playoff game because they miss free throws.
Again.
It's going to happen. No, it's going to
They'll turn it again. On. They'll turn it on when it's time. Stop it.
No, they won't. Free throw? No. No.
Your
no.
two worst players are just not good free throw shooters. Yeah. Like, De'Aaron's gotten better.
They're really the only two guys who get to the line at all.
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, right now, DeMontis Sabonis right now is shooting 67% from the free throw
line. That's an improvement of where he was to start the year.
She's not going to cut it.
No, it's not going to cut it. I want to stick with Sabonis, and we're going to talk Herter as well, because he's a guy, he got hot. We were all on him. It seems like so long ago we were.
It does.
Herter, what are you doing? He heats up, he hurts his finger, and he's never really been the same since he's returned. But, you know, being from the Bay, I have buddies that are texting me, and I've been really selling the Kings to a lot. I got friends watching the Kings who had never watched the Kings before, right? And they're hitting me up about Barnes and Sabonis. And one of my buddies hit me up yesterday, and he had some things to say about Sabonis. And I thought about it as well, because Sabonis is a guy who all NBA, it's very polarizing because he's connected to Halliburton. We don't need to get into all of that today. But when I think about Sabonis and his offensive repertoire, is there any worry, and I'm going to go baseball here because my guy Frankie is here, that second time through the lineup, I've already seen your curveball. I've already seen your fastball. Does it worry you about Sabonis that he's got, I don't know, 5 to 7 moves, and once he's kind of gone through them, defenders aren't really that impressed? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching here. Sometimes it feels like, all right, I've done my 4 moves and nobody did anything, and that in part hurts, and it turns into a chuck fest because let's just chuck up threes because we can't really. He's really a big part of your offense. When he's not going and he's not doing anything, you got that, and you got De'Aaron driving. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and then Malik, and I think
Malik
getting those 3
bench,
quick
yeah.
fouls was really tough yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, he's somebody that can provide that extra spark. To answer your question about Domas, like, I don't know how many teams in the league are posting up their big and telling him to go to work. Like, mm-hmm. here and there, he can do it for you. He's still really efficient on the year. Obviously, the 3 ball's not there, and mm-hmm. I'm not holding out hope that comes around, but you never really know in time. Not talking this year.
He's a 40% three-point shooter.
I heard that on the broadcast yesterday, and I was like, gosh,
very,
I never even bothered to look it up. Because
limited volume.
Yeah, yeah, they're all wide open, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he does his job. Mm-hmm. I think that the offense flows through him. He does a great job setting screens, getting other guys open, allows and enables all of the cutters, and gets rebounds, puts them right back if he needs to, and just kind of goes to work when he feels like he needs to. But mm-hmm. I think more so the bigger issue is, like, there's too many possessions where just nothing's happening. Guys look confused, so Domas decides to take things into his own hands. And from there, it's probably not going to go great, to your point. But mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd point at Domas for that necessarily.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, again, with the bigs in the NBA today, I mean, how many moves do they have? I mean, unless you can shoot the basketball. And DeMontis Sabonis, that's been the biggest knock on his game since the playoffs, especially. But the fact that he's very consistent with his mid-range game, the three-point shot, like, yeah, it's 40% from three, but I'd imagine that's on one, maybe one-plus attempt per game.
Can't make them if you don't take them.
But, I mean, at times looks good, and at times he looks lost, and especially mm-hmm. at the free-throw line. But I do think it kind of comes back to, are the players around Sabonis knocking down their shots? Because mm-hmm. that's going to go hand in hand with his success as well, as far as his assists go. And I mean, as far as his individual performance, the last time he played against Zubac and the Clippers, it was his worst game of the year. Mm-hmm. I think he had a triple single that game. Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
And last night, obviously a little bit better, but I do think that it kind of comes back to the shooters. And if the guys from the perimeter aren't making their shots, Kevin Herter obviously has been nowhere to be found the last couple of games. Keegan Murray, who had a good game last night, I think he's playing very well lately, but didn't knock down a three-pointer. So that's kind of going to go back, and Sabonis is going to, you know, suffer because of that.
Did you guys see that stat yesterday, by the way, that De'Aaron Fox has now hit 3 or more threes in 20 straight games?
No, he's made 20 straight? I put out yesterday that he made a 3 in 20 straight.
Maybe it was
the longest stretch of his career that he's made at least one 3. I know that as far as the most games he's made 3 or more threes in a season, I think he's already tied his career high in in that. He's making a lot of threes.
His shot is, I just can't believe it. I was looking at like the basketball reference of just like the progression of his 3-point shot. Came into the league and I think was at 30 or 32%, then took higher volume the next year and fell down to 29%. And it never got as high as 32 on, I think, 4 attempts a game. And now he's at 38 on 8 attempts per game. I can't believe that he's at this point this early in his career. I thought it was going to be like a Mike Conley situation where we're just hoping that by year 10, year 12, he's at 36, 37. I just can't believe that he's shooting this well. And obviously, I mean, it's a big reason for why he's in that MVP case right now at 30 a game.
And we saw the progress starting last year, right? Like there was some progress from three. He was getting him up a little bit more, talked a lot about how he'd worked so much with Luke Laux on that. And I think it just kind of compiled, you know, and led to this year. The confidence is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think he went 3 of 4 in that first quarter yesterday. And it seems like he gets him up a lot in the first. I'm sure it's kind of to set the tone and get defenses respecting you a little bit from there. But he's confident, man. He's throwing it up. He's not doing a full Steph Curry where he doesn't look anymore, but he's turning his body before he does his little arm wave. He's feeling good right now.
I mean,
and I feel good when they go up.
Yeah, look, I always said he had a pretty shot. Right? Yeah. I thought he did.
Because he's lefty. Stop. Well, stop with your prejudice.
Are you lefty too?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, man. Are you?
Exactly.
No.
Are you?
No.
The way you got me
so excited.
Well, no.
Can you play backup point guard?
I mean, I'm jogging again from my Achilles. I'm back now. Don't look now. Don't look now. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to talk to our Sactown Sports Kings insiders. Are they giving the Kings a pass because of the back-to-back? Was it a scheduled loss? Also talking Warriors drama. And, yeah, you got to wait until about 1:15 for my trade, and we'll see whether they just walk out of the studio. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.